As we are beginning this show, ladies and gents, I'm your host, Sully, and I'm trying to not shit boulders guffawing at our guest tonight. That is Brent Pope.
Yay.
Stand-up comedian trained by the Groundlings and Upright Citizens Brigade, the one and only Improv Tropes. He has been a guest on numerous other podcasts. He is the vice president of the... executive VP, yes. Who would win? Yeah, the comedic face-off with comic book and movie and even book characters. But you also probably know him from his various sitcom guest spots, including Better Things, Speechless, as well as some serious guest spots as well, and various web series. And believe it or not, he's also been a gamer and just a very just progressive face, as well as a beloved pet owner. So just
covering everything.
Yeah. But the Brentfest podcast, he currently is the host of, because, well, why wouldn't he? It's named after him.
Yeah.
It just sits down. And I love it. It's just a breakfast pre-show and then a after show, you know, seconds.
Yeah.
Some brunch, and depending on the episode. And he just has an instantly recognizable face. He is most recently has an upcoming episode of Career Enthusiasm. And
I do? No, I don't. I wish.
Okay, well, which one were you? Was it Always Sunny?
No.
You promoted one show that you said.
Oh, I have a show that's coming up that I can't talk about, but I was on something called Surfside Girls. Okay, which is an Apple show.
I heard the episode play today. I'm on.
Oh yeah, I had an audition for Curb, which was exciting. Itself. Okay. Yeah, because I was telling the story that like I had an audition, and like the last time I auditioned for that show was like 12 years ago or something. That's how long that show's been on.
Yes, yeah. And it's on and off. So I always forgot. Yeah. When it came back more recently, I was like, I thought it was off the air.
Yeah.
They didn't want to do it.
Speaking of HBO shows, the only one I've ever done is Silicon Valley.
Correct. And that is where probably many will know you from.
Yeah, because even though it was a very small part, I will always be, since the show's not on anymore, the official tow truck driver of Pied Piper. So.
Oh, man. So it's pretty cool to just, again, hear you, interact with you, just hearing you nonstop on podcasts. You know, you've been acting for a while, but it's just kind of just even more, just a bigger face. It's cool seeing you on the side hustle and just doing podcasting. Where are you often recognized for? Because I'm pretty sure it's not being a bailiff on Bald and the Beautiful, but
awesome. No one ever recognized me.
So playing the bailiff the for day while the kids
three episodes. You know, okay, here. So it was crazy about that one. I played the bailiff for three episodes of Bald and Beautiful. There was a recognizable person in the scenes because the judge was an actor named Joe Lando.
Who, yes,
you know who Joe Lando is?
I do. I've seen him in various B movies, so I don't know.
Yeah,
soap
B movies, but... and he was also Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman's boyfriend, yes. I believe, on that show. But he was the judge when I was the bailiff.
And you're like, what's going on here? What's going on?
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah.
Oh, so I couldn't tell if you were joking or not in one episode. It sounded like you're like, I know how a ship works. I was in the Navy. Were you?
I was in the Navy. Yeah.
Okay. You just don't talk about it.
I was in the Navy. Norfolk. I did a couple of Mediterranean cruises. So I went all over that.
So have you thought of doing your own Expendables parody, just like, but with Navy guys?
Not an Expendables parody, although that's a good idea. I mean,
I don't just think with all the web series you've done, I love the clips I've seen. I'm like, man, why have I not heard of these web series?
Right. One thing that you asked me a while back that I didn't ever answer that I want to answer for you, though, is I'll tell you what I get recognized for the most is Ray Stacanus, friend of your show also.
Yes.
Ray Stacanus and his wife. And me and my wife, his wife, Melissa, and my wife. Yeah, Ray's wrong. His wife, Melissa, and my wife, Tressa. We were all four at a Kitchen Nightmares. We were all in a Kitchen Nightmares episode. And we were just there eating that night. And it was before they fixed the restaurant. So it was terrible. But I know when that show airs because somebody will always, they'll send me a screenshot. Dude, you're on Kitchen Nightmares.
People watch reality shows and they
see. I was like, man, I did that. All the shows, of all the shows, I didn't get paid for that one at all, but I get recognized the most for Kitchen Nightmares because people just love that show, I guess.
I totally feel it. I have been on those flip and move type shows, and it is
really
funny how they film a bunch of them back to back, kind of like what James likes to do. And it's just like, it's just funny how, and I'm not against it, it makes sense, but it they do that with Whose Line. They're showing stuff that they taped 4 years ago, you know, because they do four episodes in one day, 2 hours. Right. But alternate takes.
So they would do more than one episode in a day, and then you would be like, on right. both of them?
Yeah, wow. They'd ask you to change up your shirt and bid on something else. And there's, of course, an old school cowboy saying, and, bada, 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 and going for 4K. You know, it's like, wow, no one sells a house for that.
And people are like, did I see him? No, that can't be the same guy because he was wearing a green shirt and this guy has a red shirt. So
right. And people were always complaining about that, but it is amazing. My pal Ruby, who will also be interviewed on this show, a wonderful mm-hmm. actress and model, and she's been in some music videos, but she's still at the height of her career, but beginning. And she was on one of those, the Telemundo equivalent of Judge Judy. And oh, wow. You know, her mother and aunt, of course, believe shit like that is real. And so next thing you know, they're like, hey, Ruby, but with a different name. Hey, oh my God, you're telling me it's staged? It's like, how can you not tell? I mean, you can often see people on those shows guffawing, holding back laughter. It's like, it's reality. It's not.
I always, you know what, though? I'll be honest, though. Until very recently, and I'm not sure if this is all of the Judge shows, and I don't know if you know more than I do. Maybe you probably do. But I just recently found out one of my friends was like, oh, yeah, I was on this one Judge show. And I was like, wait, as playing a character? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, really? Because I thought that the people were real, they were just making up their situations, though. You know what I mean? Or exaggerating their situations.
It depends on the scenario. They'll film the locker room talk, so to speak, and that's the interview. Why does he always start? But yeah, then, I mean, I was on a diffused whiskey pilot that never got picked up. It was shitty. And
that sounds good, though.
Diffused it was whiskey. Cool. You can see the explosion on my Instagram if you're that curious. It's,
oh, nice.
Can't miss it. It's the only video on there, but it's best thing that came out of that otherwise waste of time. But it was just funny because long story short, they had this thing that could be an interesting reality show, but they were encouraging them to bicker with one another. Oh, this dad doesn't approve of this boyfriend. And it's like, no, I think he's pretty cool. But no, you can't say that. Wow. It was just funny how they would just want it. Sometimes the producers are heavy-handed and they encourage it, so it's not legit. And other times you just think, oh, well, it's just bad acting, the reality show star. But then it just gets even funnier how sometimes it's just whatever goes. I was on an episode of Cheaters, and I do give applause for that. Yes.
Really?
Back in
Is Joey Greco still on that show, or is it a different host now?
I think they're bringing him back because a year after Clark Gable III, and yes, he's related to the movie star, was found dead from an overdose. So, but yeah, basically.
Way to bring the room down.
I know. I'm a fucking killjoy, but.
Well, I used to love that show. It's totally fake. I mean, I think.
But some people thought it was real. And it's just funny how, I mean, they've had ghetto people on there before. They've had other kinds of weird people and just other people who just really need to see a psychiatrist. Then that, I mean, I don't know why they would think it was too real. Cause I mean, they had me being a method actor chasing somewhat the other guy around with a samurai sword.
Wait, well, yeah, okay. So you were on Cheaters and you got to chase a dude with a samurai sword.
Right. And we were best friends and man, did my friend really knock me on my ass, but you know, we had clearance to film, you know, the first part, you know, it's probably the most low budget reality show ever. You know, just film, go to random parking lots and film with a camcorder, you know, so you get that look. And
that's true. They're always in a parking lot that's abandoned.
Right.
I never thought of that, but they always are.
And I hate to say it, probably the best film experience I've had. It
was really
easy and you're done in a day. And it was just hysterical because you get to laugh about it because it's stupid. It's silly.
Yeah.
There's just nothing to it. Much like if you were on a Judge Judy, it's like, well, that's all there is to it. Just you act up and badmouth and you say crazy shit that they bleep out, so it doesn't matter.
Oh wow! So it doesn't even matter what you say, because then you're like just imagining what I'm imagining what you say.
Do not matter. Yes.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's amazing.
Oh, so have you done any other reality show where you've actually were hired for the day, or were you just afraid? Mm. Okay, that's going to kill my, you know, actual legit acting and
comedy. Well, stuff. No, I mean, I wouldn't be afraid of that. I probably wouldn't do it now, but back in the day, I probably would have. I just never did. Yeah.
So tell me how you got into gaming. So you were the number two Liar's Dice player.
Oh, have you played that game, Red Dead Redemption?
I've never heard of this game. But was this around the 2000s or 2010s?
Oh, it was probably more like 2000. 12, maybe. It's maybe like 10 years old now.
Okay.
There was Red Dead Redemption and there's Red Dead 2 and maybe there's
Red Dead. Oh, so this 3. Was on Red Dead Redemption Online. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, Red Dead Redemption Online. It was game you could play. It was a side game you could play that wasn't part of the story, but you could just play online this game called Liar's Dice.
Where does the Hooligan Felix game tag come from?
Hooligan Felix, yeah. Yeah, I used to be on Xbox, the number two Liar's Dice player in the world. Yeah.
Was this back when people were, I mean, I know you couldn't do it like Call of Duty where you're getting teabagged or having trolls, but I mean, what was the equivalent of that back then?
Oh, there were some finishing things you could do when you won that were like, that would be like whatever the thing that wrestlers would do, that you could copy that on, you know, if you won the game. Yeah. But Liar's Dice is fun. It's like a very kind of calculated, I imagine it's like if you're really good at like something like craps, it's probably, it's kind of similar.
Do you play cards in for real?
I do. Yeah.
Poker.
I play a lot of poker.
You have a good poker face though.
I mean, I don't know. I just try to, I think even the face is that we're, I think we're past the poker face thing now. Like people sit there and look to see if you get like a throbbing, thing in your head. See if, you know what I mean? It's people
stare down.
Like yeah. They overanalyze everything. I'm not one of those guys that wears sunglasses and tries to cover. I try to just be kind of the fun guy at the table. And then
you want to actually have fun and not go away empty-handed.
Yeah, exactly. And win some money. Blackjack is probably my best game, though. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go back to where it began. Where did the acting gene come into play? Was it comedy first and then just acting?
I mean, if I go back to when I did my... Well, actually, the first play I ever did, I quit the play. It was at a church camp when I was like five, I think.
Well,
that's
acceptable. It's church camp.
Yeah. I was supposed to be in this play. It was like some kind of church play. And I had to like hold up a letter or say something. And then my mom came to the play and she didn't know I had quit the play. So.
Best reaction ever.
She should have known when I was sitting next to her that I was going to be in it. But you know,
were you ever in any kind of like theater classes and you had people who didn't interact or class clowns who refused to be interacted with the scene, weren't following the rules?
You know, if anyone would have been that person, it probably would have been me. So no, I didn't do that.
You were too busy avoiding everybody.
I had a cousin that was like in high school, was in all, I had actually two cousins that were like in all the plays. And then you used to go see your older cousins. You're like, oh, this is awesome.
Right.
And Yeah, that's how I did that. And then in college, I was a broadcasting major because I thought, you know, I have the Asian mom, the Filipino mom. It was a hard sell to like be an acting major because then they're like, whoa, what are your jobs going to be after you finish college? Yeah. So if like I did broadcasting because I thought, well, it's kind of like acting and you could be on, you know, you could be on the radio, you could be on TV, you could work
with newspapers. You could be any kind of persona and it all opens up.
Right. Exactly. So, and you know, and then after college, I moved out to LA and.
What was your college?
I was mostly doing comedy first. Yeah, I guess for a long time. Not even really auditioning or anything. Just like going through all the, doing some stand-up, doing like Groundlings classes, and then later on UCB. And then, you know, it's...
Upright Citizens Brigade for those.
Yeah, yeah, Upright Citizens Brigade. And so I started out, I think like a lot of people, when I got my first agent, you do like some commercials first. Mm-hmm. I think one of my first commercials...
Commercials on YouTube.
I don't You know, the one that people saw the most, I don't know if it's on anymore. It was like one of those HGTV commercials for like Troy built tools. And I was just digging in this garden. It was just like people going through this garden. And
let's look it up. HGTV commercial 2007.
Right. It was probably, yeah, it's probably something like that. Probably like 2007, 2010. And I was wearing a shirt that said, "Kiss me, I compost." But people recognized me a lot from that too at that time. And then, you know, just like with everything else, I at one point I was like, am I going to keep acting? Because I'm just doing commercials. So I decided I'm going to make one more big play and do like some web series so I can play all these different characters that they won't let me play on TV right now. And then I did that. And I reached out to this manager my friend recommended. And she loved the web series and signed me. And then I start booking TV like right after that. So sometimes all it takes is like the right person to, you know, you have to work and you have to be good, but also have the right person believe in you to put you in the right rooms.
Bingo.
You know, because if I hadn't met her, who knows? I mean, maybe I don't book anything. Maybe I'm not acting at all anymore, you know?
Absolutely. So I see a block of HGTV commercial ads. You can sample through them if you want.
Yeah, I mean,
so far it just seems like people flinging shit at each other with the host. It doesn't seem like
that. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
But no, that's cool that your acting teacher took a chance on you. And
yeah.
Where do you
think? Well, it was my manager that I have now. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Misspeaking.
That's okay.
If you want to be the butt of a joke, it's okay. But it's all right. I shit on myself all day. So how did you develop your voice to range between a charismatic kind of TV show host to a dry observation kind of humor? Like just reaction based.
I mean, I just think it's different parts of your same personality, right? And
it's part of you, and you put a little bit of that.
Part of you. And like it's almost like when you, I'm sure if you're hanging out with certain family members, you talk a certain way. Or you have certain things that you talk about, or friends even, where I have friends where like when I hang out with them, we're watching sports or talking about sports or something. And I have other friends that will never watch a sport, and all we talk about is comedy or gaming or whatever. So, I mean, I think it's just fitting what the things, because when you're doing your own podcast, I can't be as much the dry kind of guy that just throws in the little barbs, you know, I have to run the show and make it a little more. Yeah. So I guess it's just circumstance by circumstance, you know.
When did you get the chat? Were you always in charge of who would win, or was that you joined the team later?
No, I actually did the show first before I was a judge. When Ray started doing the show, because Ray and I had a podcast before called Raisin Brent, which was, I think we had probably about 100 episodes of me and Ray just like yelling at each other about sports and nerd TV stuff. So, and then he started the show and he asked me if I wanted to come judge. And then after I did it, I was like, you know what? I like this show. I see the potential. I think I'm going to take over the show. Kind of in some ways. I mean, I consider, you know, James kind of created the show, and I am the executive VP, but I think, you know, James and Ray really run the thing, and I kind of try to steer them where I can, and, you know, which is sometimes very little, sometimes most of the time I just let them go because I know they're very talented, you know. But I do like being part of that process. It's a fun show.
It's not the same without you. And I like how you were basically the line in the sand. You're like, all right, guys, let's rein it back in. You're the police captain. You're the you're the guy who mentors Tony Soprano. Right. And I like how you refer to yourself when you pitch yourself as the plucky comic relief. Where does that come from?
Right.
Oh, man. So how did you get involved with these awesome web series, and where can people who love just indie comedy check them out?
Oh, boy. Well, I have a couple YouTube web series.
YouTube videos changed so much.
Yeah. One of them I did was called, most of them were just like on YouTube or something like that. You know, mm-hmm. I did used to do like when Funny or Die first started, we used to do a lot of videos and try to get on. Remember when it used to be a big deal, get on the front page of Funny or Die, you know?
Yeah.
That was a thing for like a couple years. Now they make like mostly their own content.
It's gotta be stuff. Corporate. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but, again, it was just like, as an actor, when you're not in a good year, I'm working maybe 20 days out of the year, right? So what do I do that other 340 days to stay fresh, to feed that creative need I have to make stuff?
Yeah, and make something with your friends.
And also, you know, you don't have you don't get the audition. You don't get to pick like, hey, I want to play this part. You you get the auditions and you're like, okay, I'm going to try to get this part. And that's, if I book it, that's the part you get. I don't get to look at the script, at least not at this point in my career, and be like, I'd like to play this part. So when you do a web series, that's when you have your chance to be any character you want to be, you know, or show them you can play this character that,
more
you know, that way maybe they'll start sending you out for, oh, he can play this funny, sarcastic cop character too. Okay. Or he can play this silly guy that owns this hiking vlogger, you know, any of these things. So
an auto body shop run by porn stars.
That's right. Auto body shop run by, and
please steal that. Anyway. Yeah.
And it's called Auto Bodies with a Z.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Right. Auto Bodies.
And you play
Auto Bodies. There we go. Auto Bodies. That's the name.
You play the sleazy filmmaker who basically has his own casting gun. Perfect. Yeah.
That's right.
And you come in at the perfect moment where now, you know, for when people were, you know, doing comedy on throughout the 60s and 80s, you know, they either had a sitcom or they had to perform for, you know, 20 minutes on whoever the talk show was. Now it's more than just, you saw me on Jimmy Kimmel, you saw me on Conan's podcast. Now it's, now that networks are now wanting to take a chance and look for the next Office or Always Sunny, you know, whether TV or on cable, it doesn't matter. It's going to be bleeped out or modified, however, or with extra content and historical deleted scenes. You know,
yeah,
there's different marketing, and you win as an actor, even if your scenes get cut. You know, because people remember you, on those types of shows. And you've been, you know, comedy's gotten more grim and everything, and you know, Better Things is another good example. And again, Silicon Valley, you were. You know, I knew many who were fans of that. I wasn't able to keep up with it, but I've seen the scenes, and it is a hysterical scene. But what kind of mockumentary or just off-kilter comedy show would you like to be part of next?
Oh, man. You know, a show that I'm a really big fan of that I would love to, have you ever seen I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson? It's so wild. And I'm always auditioning for that show, and I'd love to be on the show or something like that show, where it's just like, it's almost like these are the sketches that we do that wouldn't be on SNL because they're still too crazy, you know?
Yeah, it's too like out of this world. Like even Eric Andre, it's amazing how that even exists, you know? He basically just did a ruder version of a space ghost. He said himself.
Right. Yeah, I mean, anything like that, you know, I mean, I think that's the thing is, I am a person that likes, I get bored if I'm doing the same thing all the time. So when you ask me what kind would I not like to do? I'd like to do a little bit of all of them, you know?
No Inspector Pope. That's not happening. That's not.
I mean,
you'll be a millionaire by then, but
I'm not going to say no to the money, but you know,
it'd be pretty funny though. Is like, just do a more just X-rated version. Is like, there's semen in his bloodstream. And it's one of us.
Victim life. The semen is coming from inside of this house. What?
We just
what
got
does
canceled.
That even mean?
I'm a cop. You can't cancel me.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man. You could do a more ruder version of Better Call Saul or something. I don't know.
Oh, God. That's.
I represent a murderer, but he bought me breakfast, so fuck him.
I mean, that show to me is like the perfect combination of like drama and comedy, because it's it's great drama, right? But it's so,
but then you still wonder what's funny. Happening behind Saul's desk sometimes. I don't know why.
I mean, that show's just one. Who would have thought that show would be considered, you know, almost as good as Breaking Bad when it all was said,
right?
People were like, Better Call Saul, yeah, it'll probably last, you know,
prequel,
one
spin-offs,
season,
it can't happen.
Yeah.
Oh yes, yeah. It can.
Man, I mean, that show surpassed all expectations.
I feel like you should take a random like Netflix or Apple show like Wait Before Dark or you know what have you, and just like do a just or Twin Peaks, but like if you focused on just utter random inhabitants, just do random shit and be accused of being just pedophiles or some shit, and you're just like, Jesus. What the hell, dude? I'm just watering my lawn. What the fuck is wrong with you?
That is dark.
You're so paranoid.
Twin Peaks, but with pedophiles. What?
Well, no, just people being accused of being
pedophiles. No, I know. So
it'd be like The Boys meets, I don't know.
Oh yeah, well, so yeah, the show, what was that called? What was the show with David Tennant that was Broadchurch? That was the first season of Broadchurch. It was like,
right, Broadchurch.
It was like Twin Peaks, but somebody was a pedophile.
Yeah.
So,
oh man, that show is basically Prime Suspect, or
Crackers. Oh, it is. Yeah, absolutely. It's right in that. Yeah, it's,
Luther, yeah. But with more than 5 episodes. Yeah. Oh
yeah.
Man,
yeah. I mean, the Brits do a really good job with those type of shows, though.
Oh
I
yeah,
think, you know.
But yeah, we don't come anywhere close to it. I mean, if we do, maybe you might get that with Bosch. Sorry, Ray, it's an actual show which people know about.
Well, you know what I love about what they do in the UK is they know when a show is over, and they're willing to be like, no, this show is over. Instead they of like
throw in the towel.
Yeah, they're like, okay,
again, it's 5 episodes, so there's no losing it with filler or a subplot, or like the last 2 seasons of Ray Donovan, where you're like, this is good, but speed that one subplot up a bit. I don't need to hear about this guy's problems. I heard it was done in the first episode, and you've elongated it to 5 extra episodes. Mm-hmm. It's really getting on my nerves, and not in a good way.
I couldn't keep up. I really liked that show, and then I couldn't keep up when they moved. They physically moved to like New York.
Yeah. And other people didn't have a problem with it. I'm like, yeah, pretty convenient how they were able to just, I want to know what happened to that old boxing ring, and they're just relocate to New York. Too convenient.
And also, you know, when they, spoiler alert, killed off the wife, to me, that was like, she was the heart of the show. To me, she was like the one person that I was kind of like, well, she's a redeemable person.
Right.
Now she's gone. I was like, okay, just bad people now. Good.
Yeah. Right. And that same season he's tackling his mental health. It's like, well, this is going to be a waste of time and money, because basically until he quits his profession, which he can't, because basically all of them have probably a bunch of, you know, terrible ex-con experience, and no one's going to hire him. So they can just keep being fixers and hitmen.
That was one of those shows that I auditioned for a lot.
No.
For little, and I never quite got, I was, I think what they call is pinned. I think 1 or 2 times where like,
that means being a waiter or a teacher or who's got to come to Ray and say, dude, I did a hit and run. Could you help me?
Right. Well, I see. And at that time, that was the big thing for me that I did during the pandemic, which was, it's not a big thing. I grew hair, which people thought I shaved my head for like 20 years. So at that time, if I was going to be on Ray Donovan, I would have been like, you know, the mechanic that gets yelled at, or guy in the toll booth or something like that, because that's what they look like. Right. I mean, that's what it seems mullet, like.
Brent Pope. I love it.
Yeah. So then I decided I'm going to grow some hair and try to get some different types of parts. But I would have loved to have been on Ray Donovan. So another show that like started off so great. I don't know how the last couple seasons were. I didn't hear anything about it.
I think you'd dig the movie. Because really? Deadwood, they just wrapped it up in 2 hours.
Man.
The Deadwood movie was better as a standalone movie, and the wife of Ray Donovan was also on that. But the Ray Donovan movie made me cry like a bitch. So
really? Are you a fan of Deadwood, since you mentioned Deadwood?
Yes, we covered it on the show.
Oh man, I came so close a couple times to having Jerry Jewell on my podcast, and it just never quite worked out. And I'm such a big fan of hers, you know.
It can still happen, but I know what you mean. Where it's just like, just close, but you know, half the time when you're not auditioning, you want to just, you know, relax and spend time.
Right, right. Well, it's just like schedules don't line up, and then when you get really, it's like in life, so like you get really close to some goal a few times, and then you're like, you know what, do I really want to keep going after this? And keep kidding.
You're doing a good job, and much like even just to name a few examples, Aisha Tyler and Paget Brewster, they've done so much, people forget all the other roles done. You would literally have to sit down and binge watch all the shows they're on to get through them all.
Aisha Tyler, you forget about all the stuff she did before people even knew she was Aisha
even
Tyler.
Stuff where she's just serious, and you're like, hey, that was a really good episode of Boston Legal. Hey, that was a really funny episode, and you're doing that voice on the Boondocks. Of course that was you. And but what's another dream job that you're still pursuing? You're just like, I gotta get that in before I hit the floor dead.
Man, I would love that Curb Your Enthusiasm, you know. That's it's just
please guys, it's nothing. Just interview him as himself and like as an alter ego, something,
right?
Even as a podcast host who's trolling Larry David, something.
I mean, look, there's so many great shows on right now that I could, you know, I mean, I regret I missed Westworld, I missed Breaking Bad, I missed Better Call Saul, know, but there's always new shows coming out, and there's always I mean, the show that I would never be on that I would love to be on is what's it called? I'm blanking on the name of the show.
Who's
the one with Brian Cox and
Succession.
Oh man.
Will Ferrell might have your card somewhere. Adam McKay. I shouldn't say Will Ferrell.
I mean, do you curse on this show? Can you curse on this show?
Fuck.
Okay, cool. To have Brian Cox call you a cunt, I mean, on camera would be so fucking great.
That would be amazing. You'd be like, that just happened.
Or imagine just being like in a scene where you're just like, even if you're just in the background, just have one line, it's like one of those crazy scenes where they're like eating exotic weird endangered birds.
You could be like his private fitness trainer, and you're just like, do you want to fucking do this or not? And you just drop your tennis rag and say, fuck it. This dude has money to burn, my opinion doesn't matter, because this dude's the Murdoch's equivalent,
God, I love that show, even though there's nobody really likable on the show, you know what I mean?
And without the mockumentary style, it just wouldn't work. I was surprised. I'm like, wow, Adrian Brody just showed up.
For a while I was doing my cousin Greg, I was doing his voice a lot recently, and I want to be part of the family, but I don't want to upset my grandfather. And
Aaron Culkin, man.
I was doing my cousin Greg a lot for a while during the pandemic. It's such a fun voice to do,
Yeah, it is. But I'm sure it takes it out of him, because Karen Culkin has kind of been the go-to for playing villains, and he has to remind people, he's like, I'm not a terrible person.
Oh God, Karen Culkin is so he's so good in that.
You know what he was doing around that same time?
No,
City on a Hill.
Oh, really? I've never seen that. Is that the Kevin Bacon show?
Yes, Aldous Hodge plays a lawyer in 90s Boston with crooked FBI agent turned unlikely affiliate and allying himself with him. Yeah, Kevin Bacon. And Kieran Culkin plays a guy who gets Bacon's daughter hooked on drugs. And he is like the only guy he just kills on the show. But what's really atmospheric for it is it's a Tom Fontana production.
Oh, I love Tom Fontana.
So the St. Eligius Hospital appears every time they go to the hospital.
Oh, really?
Because it's in Boston.
That's crazy.
And you can't miss it. It says it on the speaker. Entering St.
Where, where do you now? Did you watch St. Elsewhere? Were you a fan of that show?
Yes, I like the whole universe.
I thought, I'm just guessing because you're a fan of the show. I think to me that's one of the best final scenes of a TV show ever.
Yeah, I love it. And people like to talk shit about it. I'm like, I'll take it over Sopranos.
I fuck that. It's genius. I like the Sopranos too, but I prefer the Saint Elsewhere one.
The prequel movie didn't mean anything, but that's okay.
I didn't see the prequel movie.
Oh my god. It's up to you, but I thought it was very lifeless and good acting by what's his name from Hamilton, but I was just like, why are they involved in Vietnam War? They're concentrating on their own war. To me, it would be like if James and Ray speculated, and it didn't have anything to do with the versus match. This wouldn't signify. Theirs would be entertaining, obviously, given their vocal range and their comedic ability. But this was just like, it doesn't even fucking involve Tony Soprano, so why even do it?
That's weird.
Ray Liotta gives a good performance, but he's Ray Liotta. Of course he's going to give you a good performance, but rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
So who are some actors who you kind of studied? You mentioned Jack Black and as one of your pitches, but like, who were people who just like, I want to work with them because they really are multi-talented. They You
know, oh man,
they can't just do this in their sleep. They have a certain prep style. They have a certain set of. They have a special set of skills.
I'm a huge fan of like Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle, yes. I love.
Yes.
Very underrated. Even like one of my favorite, like Boogie Nights. My favorite scene in that whole movie, and it's like it's just him looking in that donut case when he's just like, oh, he's like, okay, I'm gonna get the and he's like, oh, is that for the Christmas?
Like, yeah. We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide all across the globe. We are in the U.S. We are in the U.K. We are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode, we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Little just gotcha moments, yeah.
Right, and that was so funny, and then he goes right into, like, the guy comes in to rob the place, and the other guy gets shot, and he has blood all over his face, and it's like, that's acting right there, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, total I love chameleon. Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, could play any type of part.
Yeah, that is not the same guy who was in Colors or Hotel Rwanda or
yeah.
Out of Sight.
Or Mission to Mars.
Oh.
Which is his worst movie.
Right. Pretty good in it, but yeah.
He's good in it. The movie's just not that great.
Yeah, but... we joked how Brian De Palma's the exception. Most people like to judge a filmmaker on their quantity, you know, is like Just Franco is pretty celebrated, even though he's an exploitation filmmaker with 500 like pieces of shit. You know.
Yeah.
And other people, you know, are going to be like it or hate it, or just have at least five great movies to like by him. Brian De Palma is a perfect example. It's like, I can name like 10 good movies, but there's about 20 shitty movies he's done where I'm just like, okay, great filmmaker, but seriously, what the hell happened?
Yeah. I mean, other guys I really enjoy, like Bob Odenkirk, now that we've seen his full, you know, this Death Star is at its full potential now. You know, like, that dude can do everything. He even did that action movie. You know,
that's girlfriend.
I mean, I love him and God, that scene that he has in I Think You Should Leave, the last season of I Think You Should Leave.
People are going, like, back and watching the stuff he was already famous for, like his Conan bits and Mr. Show. So it is funny.
Yeah, Mr. Show, one of my favorite sketch shows of all time.
Right,
you know? David Cross
was like
too.
The third stage of his career, and so it's just funny how people have to see the various things you've done it to see it all eventually.
yeah but those guys that can do everything, I mean, that's what I'm into, because like I said, I you know, I like doing comedy, but I like a little bit of everything, you know.
I'll say
like
that Richard Belzer started it.
Oh, Richard Belzer. Yeah. Nice.
So many people are going to only know him from Detective Munch, which is fine.
God, that's right. I mean, you forget. You know what? When you said that, I was like, what is he talking? And I was like, oh, yeah, he was a stand-up for a long time. Like,
great stand-up.
Yeah, great stand-up.
His roast on Chevy Chase is brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
And they unfortunately haven't re-aired it because Chevy Chase is just not enjoying himself the whole time, which is a shame because
Chevy Chase. He takes himself too seriously.
Yeah.
Donald Glover, love that dude. Everything that guy does, you know. Yeah.
You think he'll do another music act? I don't know why he closed it down when he was done.
I think he's going to do whatever he wants to do, you know, which I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is, but
what do you do?
I mean, Atlanta, I loved every episode of that show. And it was like the one thing you could say about Atlanta, never predictable. Like you could never predict what the next episode was going to be. You know, you could never really predict what was going to happen. Sometimes you could, but like
pretty rarely. They kind of stole a bunch from the Boondocks. I'll just say that.
Well, okay, sure. Maybe. I don't know. Or did the Boondocks steal from them? I don't know.
It's all good.
Yeah. But look.
This is your show, my dude.
One won all the awards?
Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Great show. But whatever.
Yeah, that show was good. You know what? I'm in the finale of Andor right now. I personally feel like I don't know how I'm curious what you think. You haven't seen it?
I'm kidding. I'm just joking for everyone.
Okay. Anyway,
yes.
I'm in the finale. I'm not going to tell anything about it, but I'm just saying for my money, that's the best TV Star Wars show that we've had. And
I mean, that's making me
maybe
wonder,
not close.
Well, it makes I me wonder not, why they didn't do this to begin with. You know, it could have been like Buck Rogers instead of Star Wars exists and now Buck Rogers and Lord of the Rings exists.
Yeah, I love that we don't have to see all these characters that we already love. We don't have to throw them in the background or whatever, because this is still a great story on its own.
They have their own
very like
homages.
Right, and it's very like, you know, The Great Escape and things like that. There's definitely some influence from that kind of stuff there, but I was into it. I mean,
it's the West Wing meets the Americans. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one Emmy winner I've had on Breakfast. Oh God, what's his name? Richard. What's his last name?
Richard.
He played Toby on The West Wing.
Richard Schiff. Yes, you
Richard
did.
Schiff.
Yes.
So I had his lovely wife on the podcast.
Sheila Kelly was cool. Ellie Law fan. Can't wait for her to return.
And for me, Sheila Kelly, the height of her powers was in Singles. Love that Karen or Singles.
Are you sure you didn't mean Dancing at the Blue Iguana? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, wow.
I went
yeah,
there.
So she told an interesting story. Richard Schiff told an interesting story on my show, which was when they were shooting Singles, he was with Sheila Kelly. And, of course, Kevin Bacon was with Keira
and
Sedgwick.
And your least favorite movie, Speed. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. And so whose favorite movie?
Least favorite movie, Speed.
Oh, Speed.
Is the dead conductor.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. That's right. Yes. Oh my God. That's so funny.
I'm just kidding. Yes. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, hey. Even Richard Schiff couldn't rise that tide to me. But anyway, he was talking about how on Singles, like it was just him and Kevin Bacon hanging out because they weren't working on the movie and their girlfriends were just like working on this movie, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, Richard Schiff, working on it. That guy's great. That guy's very versatile, man. He's hilarious, but also can do like the drama.
He can be ripped in half by dinosaurs. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. You know, my closest brush with my 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon in my neighborhood, couple of houses down, they were shooting episode of The Closer.
Yes.
Yeah. So
really funny show, by the way. No, really.
Funny murders every week.
No, it really is. Like,
was it really funny? I never watched it.
They had a lot of dark comedy on there, and G.W. Bailey from Police Academy.
Oh,
Captain Harris was on there.
So. Oh wow. So they're recording that a couple things down, and then like the street is not even closed off. And I just see from like a block away, this dude walking down the middle of the street with these like reflective sunglasses and like a jean jacket. Yeah, he's got like a jean jacket and he's just like, and I was like, oh my God, that has to be Kevin Bacon. And Kevin Bacon walked right by my house and I was just like, oh man, Kevin, that's cool.
If you watch that show, you can basically play a who's who of not only Breaking Bad, because they were on around the same time as Major Crimes, but also Star Trek, because James Duff wrote for Enterprise and Picard, and so we would cast a lot of actors there, including the Doctor from Voyager and Q as suspects. Oh,
that's funny.
Yeah.
I just I was blown away the other day. I watched Trading Places. Like, I hadn't seen that in a long time.
Your year's not here yet, Brent.
I'm sorry. Well, do you remember who from the whole Breaking Bad universe was in Trading Places?
Giancarlo, yes.
Yeah, Giancarlo was in the jail cell with him. I was like, man, he looks young.
Maybe that was an origin for Gus. I don't know.
Could have been Gus Fring. Origin
almost
story.
Almost got hunted by alter persona of Axel Foley. I'm just
kidding. That's right.
So what movie universe is your favorite, and which one do you kind of make up in your own head? Like, this is someone under, if they were a narc before the movie began, or
what movie universe is my favorite?
Right.
Like, what do you mean by that?
There's various other universes besides the Marvel Cinematic or DC Cinematic Universe. Like,
yeah.
There's ones that are kind of like themed. Like, here is Gus Van Zandt's Death Trilogy. Here is all these movies where Jason Patrick plays a narc. Here's all these movies where so and so plays the frat boy. Here's all the movies where what's his name from Family Matters and Die Hard, Reginald Vell Johnson creates his own cinematic universe.
I don't know. I mean,
Ray said his favorite was Evil Dead because it's technically part of Jason and Freddy with the Book of Necronomicon.
Nice. Well, the concert. That's so silly.
Ray is silly, but hey.
I guess I'd have to be in that. Well, I don't know. I want to say like the Stephen King cinematic universe.
Oh, there you go.
It's just so easy to die in those things. So,
you're going to be in Cujo 2, the sequel no one asked for, as the neighbor with a shotgun saying,
"That's right. Oh,
this guy's not a dog. It's the worst."
I mean, if you ask me what my favorite movie is, that's The Sting. I think it's a perfect movie.
Oh, there you go.
It's just, it looks fabulous.
Something for everybody.
It's hilarious. Every con man movie steals from The Sting, like blatantly. I mean,
1,000%.
Yeah.
So now we know Ocean's 14 has to happen with you leading the crew.
Disclaimer,
I don't do that acrobat shit, dudes.
Right. Do you know the guy? Okay, so there's the guy, I can't remember what his name is, but he was Robert Shaw's henchman that has like the flat nose, that guy. I got to work on a movie that he was in like 5-6 years ago. We didn't have any scenes together, but I was just like in awe he also played on my softball team one time.
Charles Durkoff,
that's right. Charles Durkoff, yeah.
Not Jerkoff. That's his cousin. Vegas.
Yeah, anyway. That guy's terrible. That guy's terrible and treats his body like a playground.
Oh,
is that a George Costanza's mom? Isn't that what you said? I come in here and find George treating his body like a playground. Something like that. I think that's what she said to him.
Now you have to do your own take on the Seinfeld.
That's a great universe. I mean, so many. Geez, how many people you go back and had one line on Seinfeld that are just like huge stars now?
It was kind of the Twilight Zone of sitcoms. It's like you only had to do one and it's syndicated and every other person for whatever reason has just seen that one during the middle of the day or just at 2 in the morning. And they're like, oh, you were that guy. I knew you from somewhere.
I used to see all the time the guy that played Ping, who was the guy that delivered the Chinese food that got hit by a car or something. Kramer ran Jerry or Kramer hit him with a car and he was suing Jerry. I see him do stand up all the time.
Ping Woo, I think.
Yeah. I've been in auditions where I saw what's his name? It's the best, Jerry, the best. Banya. I've seen that guy at auditions.
That's wonderful.
Oh, yeah, man. It's kind of cool to see those guys. You're like, maybe you don't even recognize, like, where is that guy? And then when you do, you're like, oh, you want to go up and say their catchphrase. But, you know, everyone said that to them their whole life. So.
They're just waiting.
Yeah. Oh, God. Here he comes.
He apparently was on Fresh Off the Boat recently. That's awesome.
Oh, really?
I stopped watching it when Constant Wu wanted to leave. But
yeah. You know what? That's a very interesting topic that comes up a lot with a lot of other.
And it's not her fault. She was getting tired of being treated like shit by one of the sexist crew members.
Yeah, I was. That's the first show I ever saw where I actually was like, oh, wait a minute. This actually reminds me of my family. And I didn't realize that I was not. I had never seen that before until I saw it. I was like, wait a minute. Is this what it's like for like white people all the time when they watch TV? Where they're like, oh, this is like my family. This is the first time I've seen it. I just saw, it was fantastic. This play called 222, like the time of the day, 222, a ghost story. And it was the two female leads were Anna Camp and Constance Wu. And
oh, wow.
They were great. And it's not a comedy. No. There's funny moments, but yeah, Constance Wu's, I think she got a little bit of a, you know, we all want to change things sometimes, or if she was having a bad experience, even if it was just that she wanted to do this other project, you know, we can get disappointed about things. And I always ask like, well, if it was a guy that had said that, would we be all over that guy? I don't think so as much, you know, like.
It is what it is. I mean, everyone handles the experience different, but like you say, I mean, you kind of do have to unfortunately kind of be there just to know what the hell's
going on. Yeah, none of us were there, you know, and she apologized and people keep hiring her. So there must be something, you know, she's not like, it's not like she's probably terrible to work with, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, you go for your stages.
But who knows? I mean, sometimes people put up with a lot of things when you're talented too. Could be anything, you know. I worked on Roseanne. I had a scene with Roseanne.
Yeah.
Who's very, very funny, very, very talented, but also has some big issues, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah.
What is your favorite kind of comedy style? Like, what are a type of comedy or a subgenre or a different kind of experimentation?
Yeah. You know what made me want to do comedy when I was a kid is I was watch all these shows with the guy that was the kind of likable jerk, right? So I was watching Sanford and Son with Red Fox. I was watching The Jeffersons with Sherman Helmsley. God, and you just keep going. Even Jerry Seinfeld's kind of a jerk on that show, but you still like him. George is a jerk, but you still like, you know, that
Perfect.
Yeah, any of those comedy I love those insult comics when I was growing up, like Don Rickles.
The ones who can slap you or curse you without actually cursing you out, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this is not the same thing at all. I watched like a half hour of like Stephen Wright today. I love Stephen Wright, just the deadpan. You know. Nobody does deadpan like Stephen Wright.
Hasn't he been getting into directing lately?
I don't know. Let's look it up. I bought an ant farm. I love his jokes. I bought an ant farm. I don't know where I'm going to get tractors that small. You know. I got a tattoo over my entire body of myself, but taller. You know, just Stephen Wright's a genius too.
That's great. Oh man. Altogether, who's another comedian who we should follow besides you?
Besides me? Yes. gosh. You're awesome. I really love Matthew Harris. He's a good friend of mine. He's been on Who Would Win before. He's does one of the best Obamas you'll ever hear, you know. Yes. Love Matthew Harris. Who else we got out there? If you watch Walking Dead, Josh McDermott is just like one of the funniest guys I've ever met. You know, he's really funny. Tony Cavallaro from Righteous Gemstones. He's another guy that I used to do comedy with, and I'm, you know, I think that guy's just like one of the funniest guys.
Again, they're at the third or fifth stage of their career, and now they're just being becoming well known.
Yeah, but yeah, people that aren't known. I mean, you know,
the ones who aren't going to be on the top 20, but are still pretty damn talented. Mitch Hedberg come up even more and more in conversation, and he's mm-hmm. passed away a while.
Yeah, he's definitely had a renaissance of people like appreciating him. You know, I think it's I think the comedy has come closer to what he was doing now again, you know?
Oh, yeah. I even see people who, like, should have lived longer. Greg Girardeau is often mm-hmm. top of the list. You're like, yeah, just people who were really appreciated, and just when they got big, like, they either lost it all or retired or got into culture wars or other bullshit. And you're just like, ah, come on.
I'm enjoying the whole, just, like, the whole... being everywhere of Randall Park. Love that guy.
Yeah,
you know.
Did you ever see Amigo Undead?
No.
So basically, it's if two friends found out awful secrets about each other. One minute it's hysterical. The next minute it's very, very tragic, and it's all during a zombie apocalypse.
Really?
Yes. It's all on Showtime. It comes on.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I need to watch that. Yeah, I was watching Randall Park a lot on Fresh Off the Boat. He's like, yeah, my family moved. We moved here from D.C. And, you know, I love doing that's another voice I love to try to do is Randall Park.
He's been on so many talk shows. Yeah.
Have you seen that show that he does, that Young Rock show that he does with The Rock?
I need to. I've seen the.
It's fun. I mean, it's just a funny dynamic between him and The Rock, because the conceit in this show is, for some reason in the future, Randall Park has like failed out of acting or is not an actor
anymore.
Yeah,
it's an alternate comedic version of himself.
Yeah, so he's always interviewing The Rock, and he's always like, I don't know if you remember, I used to be an actor too. I was in Terminator 8. And The Rock's like, yeah, you keep mentioning that you used to be an actor. Well, I did. And yeah, I just thought maybe you wouldn't remember. Maybe we could do something together. You know, it's just it's funny. I love watching people
reminisce,
play like a fake version of themselves, you know?
Like mock LeBlancing it on episodes. Mm-hmm. There you go.
The episodes
and win a fucking Emmy for doing it.
Right,
just play yourself.
I know that one show reminds me a lot of episodes.
Larry Sanders.
Then Larry Sanders show is so freaking good. Yeah, King that Bumpus. Was. Yeah, what's the new show
with The Office? Because he basically. You know how they filmed Larry Saunders?
No.
So they just knew that even if the minute they called action, even if the actors were supposed to just play themselves, just the acting training would kick into gear on intentionally or not, or just it'd be too confusing. So often he would have them, you know, in the break room just talking, and then slowly they gesture to Larry, and then he gave the okay, now we're rolling.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. So
that's how they got the behind the scenes, you know, mock moments. And then we're slowly able to shift into what's, you know, supposed to be the fictional
version
of the actors playing themselves. And
that's really funny.
So the assistant directors are driving them crazy. They're pulling their hair out because they're used to, you know, getting the clapper. And
yeah. Well, that reboot show that's on now reminds me, it's the same type of.
Guys, that's the Judy Greer, Keegan Michael Kaye.
And it also reminds me of the comeback with Lisa Kudrow. That's
so underrated.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of the comeback, actually. Yeah, Lisa Kudrow that was one of those shows too. I was like, I did not realize how great Lisa Kudrow was until I saw that show, and I was like,
Conan O'Brien still swears by her. He's like, I don't have a career without her, with her many tips and just telling her just knock him dead, like she would just tell him that.
That's cool. Wow. Yeah, I like those. Yeah, but you mentioned mockumentary, sir. I love those mockumentary shows like Burning Love, stuff like that. met Ken Marino accidentally like recently, and I was sick and I was picking up like cough drops at a place, and he happened to be at the same place. I don't want to say where it is just in case, you know, he hangs out there all the time.
But, he's going to be like, damn it, I got to find a new place.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was getting cough drops and he was doing something else there. Perfectly normal place. But yeah, he.
Getting a BJ while getting high. No,
I don't. He basically was. He overheard that I had a big callback the next day and I needed to be able to talk, you know, and he actually came by and he's like, hey man, you're gonna kill it on your callback tomorrow, man, good luck. And I was like, oh wow, that's wow, you're it Ken Marino. I mean, look, as many like big actors and things as I've worked with, I still am like a huge fan of other actors, and I mean if I see someone like Ken Marino I've never worked with, I just like,
yeah,
you know, it's great. I think it's I still get a little it's not starstruck, but just like, God, I'm just like kind of
proud.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I love so many things that he's done, you know, and when they're nice, which a lot of times they are. It's just a bonus.
Just don't be like a fan who's just, you know, touching my face. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Hey, can I hug you? Hey, where's my autograph? Do you have autograph books here also? Oh, can we sign my autograph book?
Can you endorse my NRA ad? No, I'm just
kidding. Oh, boy.
I couldn't resist.
From my cold, dead hands.
Yes. Lock and load, baby. Blast your kid's face off. So how did you come to know Karen Maruyama? There's another, you know, underrated genius.
She's
done everything from Jamie Foxx show.
Yeah. I mean, I met Karen through a friend of mine that, and actually I had done this, I had done somebody else's web series, and we had a little scene where I was finishing as she was coming in. So I asked my buddy, I was like, hey, you got to ask her if she'll do my podcast. And then, you know, then we talked a little bit and she came in and did it. And she was like, of course, she was brilliant, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, she was very funny on the show Baskets, which is another
great show. She's
all time favorite comedies.
Episode. She's on a perfect Bosch episode as well.
Oh, is that right?
Playing a witness. You know, people don't even realize this, that are just, they've seen their, she's another one who, like many of these chameleons you mentioned, is like more people have seen her than they realize. She has like a brief walk-on role for the American president. So there you go. Mm-hmm. We're there in Sorkin. But then even you might remember from the campaign where she plays the servant who's been raised to talk like a black person.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and God, you're just like, Jesus, who else could do such a...
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Hard to even just...
Right.
You even fathom that. Everyone's into the joke, so it's not insensitive, but at the same time, you're playing an insensitive type. Yeah. Mixed
well, in. And also think about like her being on Whose Line Is It Anyway? She was one of the very few women that did the show. Not she that there's a lot of great underdog. Improvisers, but like she happens to be one of the. Before I don't know if I know another woman that's been on the show.
Besides Catherine Greenwood and Danny Siegel, then there was.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, you're right. There,
but she's the current judge. But I know what you mean. Yeah, and for a while, it didn't seem like there was many women in improv, just like stand up was slowly becoming a thing. But
there were women. It's just like the opportunities are changing now. And thank goodness, because women are hilarious. Like some of the best shows I've been on have just been like female led shows, like Better Things. I love Casual. I love, you know,
yeah, I'm glad you got to work with all those types. Cause
guys are cool too.
I know, but screw the guys who can't handle being told that they are toxic, because if you're toxic, you're toxic.
Right. Yeah.
To admit, you know, it's just kind of like the people who do the whole, oh, I'm imperfect, but I'm not racist. I got black friends. It's like, well, if you're racist, you're still racist. Yeah,
yeah. Some of my best friends are blank.
You address it or you get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Hang out with your other backwards friends. So there's been a lot of, yeah, I like how we've been getting into this mockumentary phase, and you brought up wonderful stuff on Audition. And unfortunately, people are still just when people aren't watching true crime, they want to see the in and outs, just the making of specials. And there's been way improved ones. There's more stuff out of the vaults and clips and less talked about material now. There was a great one on the evolution of black comedians on A&E. That was a great two-parter that had a lot of less talked about people. That guy and that gal who was in that thing was a wonderful part. I don't know when part three is going to come out. And they really harped on, again, getting through the typecast, let alone standing out in a scene, let alone, again, surviving the audition process.
And
when you got a family to feed and you still got to actually be a dad or be a mom, what has been your kind of just formula that you've found with your pets and your wife and your lifestyle?
Oh gosh. I mean, just, I think the biggest thing for me is trying to, when you have auditions and when you're finished with them, not sitting there and going like, oh, what could I have done better? Or like letting it go, man, put it in the universe, send that audition out, and then like go on to the next thing. And if something happens with it, that's great. I mean, it's easy to say that. And I try to do that most of the time, but there are times when you're like, oh, when you see the thing, the product later, and you're like, oh,
I could have seen it.
Yeah, that could have been a contender.
We'll correct it in the Blu-ray director's cut. Oh, that's
right. But yeah, just that, and like trying to make sure that not everything's about that, because there's the, you know, you can't, that can't be your whole life, because
no.
That's when you get into the whole thing of like, when you go to auditions, you seem like you're desperate to get a job because you are desperate to get a job. So I think you just like try to do the best you can, try to create the best character you can, be the best character you can. And if that's not what they're looking for, then, you know, hopefully they hire one of your friends or somebody else that's great.
5 years from now when they have two new shows and they've taken over the network practically.
Yeah. I have another friend, you know, we go out for a lot of the same parts we used to, Christopher Chin. So he's a guy that you would totally recognize. If you look him up later, guy you will totally recognize from commercials and TV shows. He did have like recurring.
He's also on Young Rock.
On Young Rock and American Auto. Yeah, we had a fun, interesting thing with me and Christopher Chin, because when Young Rock was just becoming a thing, he was going out for all these parts and I was going out for all these different parts. I was like, man, that would be cool if we both booked these parts on the same show.
So you're right. I have seen him, but he's often just a doctor or a lab tech. So
yeah or project, so, and then he does those commercials where like there's the one where I think he keeps walking into the, it's one of those Geico commercials, like where the person does something silly and then they love it. Like he keeps walking into a mirror and then he just keeps doing it and like laughing about it. Like, but yeah, it's fun that the person that you go out for auditions for like becomes your friend and you can actually like, because sometimes he'll get a part and sometimes I'll get a part and we're like a little bit jealous, but like, I was like, yeah, at least Christopher got it, I guess, you know.
Right. Well, pretty soon he'll probably have a recurring role as a dad and set for life.
Well, here's hoping, you know. I mean,
I don't want to jinx it, but yeah.
Love to play a dad. I'd love to play a dad on some show, just like some dad.
Would you be the one with all the answers who's not appreciated? Sorry a lot, you know, or because it seems like for a while dads were just always had to be just fucking stupid, you know,
comic. Yeah, I mean, I think we've I don't know. I mean, I like to, it's fun to, like I said, I like to play all those types.
They got a lot of the okay boomer moments now with a lot of these dads. Like, okay, I'm behind the times, but I mean well.
Right, right. Yeah, that's got a little played out, hasn't it?
But I always fall off the roof, you know, or right, get bit by the family dog.
It's the guy that actually can show that his kid's like, oh, dad is kind of funny sometimes. You know, that'd be the fun dad
to be more dry. Dooley Hill kind of did that with his version of the Wonder Years. I wonder if someone could do, what would it be like if there was a sitcom dad within a sitcom? Like a guy.
Yeah, who, I don't know, but that's a great example of Dooley Hill.
He doesn't like show playing the dad on a sitcom because it's not much further from his unappreciative family.
Yeah. Well, that's another guy too, where you're like, he's been on a million things and the people forget he was on. He was on The West Wing. People forget like that was so long ago. He won a season of Celebrity Poker.
Didn't everybody back then? Bravo Channel was so different. Yeah, A&E actually used to show actual TV before it became Reality Channel.
Yeah, that's weird how some of those things go through those changes. And I guess it's because
joking off air about Skinamax years later. Like,
yeah, like, right. But it's funny
how best channel ever.
I don't know, man. It seems like in some ways this is a golden era of television, just because any type of show you want to watch is on. You know what I mean? There's no like, I wish there was a show like this. It's probably 90% there.
Unless somewhere they've lost the rights or just don't want to air something like that. They right just got it.
Right. You know, type of show I'd love to be on. And I just started watching Veep, which is, I know, is sacrilegious.
Yeah,
but it's really funny. Great. Yeah, but then I realized that the guy that does Avenue 5 is the same like creator, I guess.
I think I did see him listed in the credits. I was like, that sounds familiar.
Avenue 5 is so wild and funny. I would love to be on that show. Like, it's just it's
people might be getting it mixed up with that other one that's on Showtime that's kind of similar. John C. Reilly and these guys on the moon. Moonbase something.
Oh yeah, Moonbase. It's I haven't seen Moonbase, but it's Avenue the same 5 kind of thing.
They're like Red Dwarf meets a mockumentary, but it's in space.
Right. Oh god, Red Dwarf. Yeah, that guy's a genius. Yeah.
If they finally actually adapted to America, you can
leave. Right. Be that. Yeah. That'd be cool.
Here's what a 7-Eleven looks like in space with a stupid robot and a hologram.
Have you done that thing yet with that Lenza app where you make it makes you like all cartooned out for?
Yeah, I used to play around with it. I think
they, is that right?
Don't they charge for it now?
Now it's yeah. You, I got 200 pictures for $8. One of them, I look. You can look on my Instagram, Scoops Pope. I look exactly like Nacho Libre, but half Filipino.
So now you really do have to work with Jack Black since we've gotten two references.
Oh, yeah, dude, that was so great to work with Jack Black. Yeah.
Tenacious Brent.
Yeah, oh, man. That would be love to work with Jack Black. That guy's talk about a guy that's like can do everything now, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, it didn't happen that I'm sure he had his dark corridor, you know?
Of course. Yeah, well, you know,
he was really great on his recent Andy Richter episode if you want to listen to it.
Oh, okay, cool.
The three questions with Andy Richter. Yeah.
Was he in The Cable Guy?
Yes, he's the friend, and he's playing the normal guy. The
Iron yeah, like, that was like before he got
to... What the?
Yeah, that was one of those movies that, like, I think that's the it became like I feel like people think it's like a classic now, and when it came out, like,
totally flopped because
nobody went to see it.
They didn't get that it was making fun of psycho thrillers of the 90s, and
Ben Stiller didn't get a direct for like another 5 years after that or something. No, yeah, you know?
Even people are trying to cancel Tropic Thunder now. It's like you realize they're making fun of exploitation in Hollywood,
right? Right. Yeah,
but I guess that. So, how do you like to filter through a joke of all of your experience doing both stand up and improv, and now hosting? How do you like to shift through a joke that, you know, obviously when you're doing radio and podcasts, you can play God, jury, and executioner. You decide what doesn't make the final cut. Okay, that joke went too far, or I think people are just going to be too stupid to get it. So just happen to be on our Patreon, but But anyway, yeah. But how do you filter through? And you're just like, I just don't know how if this lands.
Yeah, for me, I mean, first of all, if it's not funny, then there's no reason to keep it. So it's got to be funny, first of all. But also, you know, I'm doing my little podcast, even though it's, you know, it's in a lot of countries and it's a lot of people listen to it. But I'm still not trying to ruin anyone else's career. So if somebody comes on the show and tells it, someone comes on and tells a joke and I listen to it later, I'm like, oof, I'm not.
Pope is not going to have Bill Maher or J.K. Rowling on, we swear.
Well, I'm going to save them from themselves by editing it out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or at the very least.
In which case it's just Brent talking to himself.
No, well, yes just, no. But just moments like I will contact them and be like, hey, so you said this one thing. I'm okay if it's on the show. If you're okay with being on the show, you know what I mean? Because
you're right.
I don't want someone to
were cleared to say this.
Yeah. I don't want them to get canceled for something that I know that's not what they meant, or, but it's going to come off a certain way. Now, if they were just being outlandishly, you know, racist, then I'll just leave it in. Just, you can sail your own boat there, bud. But yeah. But yeah, for the most part, as long as it's not like going to get somebody canceled, as long as it's funny, that's the thing, right?
Right.
Like, what do you think about that?
It is a good case in point. There have been times where I heard someone say something politically incorrect, and even though it didn't involve any racism or anything, it was still just like, I think it's a little overkill. Some people get away with it. Two Guys, One Canuck was making fun of gamer culture, and so they were acting just as over the top as gamers. What's the one? Culture Shocked has done the impossible by making fun of suicide, if you can believe it.
Oof.
It's not easy to make fun of.
It's not easy. That's got to be a tough to do.
And obviously, you know, friends of our shows, Gunning the Sacred Cow, you know, has joked in all kinds of things, and even had comedians from both sides of the political equator. So it's
100%. Yeah.
I don't know really what the defining line is, other than, can you live with it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I a year ago, I would have probably covered a filmmaker who'd been canceled. Now I probably wouldn't have been able to live with myself. I've been like, yeah, I can't believe I glamorized that shithead.
Right. And also, there's so many filmmakers out there, right? So
yeah, we will never talk about anyone. Polanski yeah. or Woody Allen. We might talk about a movie of his, but we're not going to do an right. episode dedicated to just him because
yeah.
they don't deserve our attention, as right. even though Polanski is in my top 10 filmmakers of all time.
I mean, he definitely made some great movies. Yeah. As did Woody Allen. Yeah, sure. Annie Hall's not better than Star Wars, but yeah.
And he refuses to admit what he did was wrong. So
yeah, that's the thing too. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And it's getting even worse with just how some of these do you watch Vice News? Did you see the one they did about Woodstock 99?
I think I saw like a clip of it, but I didn't watch the thing.
It's was a long it? Story short. They took clips of Alanis Morissette and as well as a new interviews with people like Moby, and they're like, why the fuck were we there? You know, it's just we were in the most toxic wasteland.
That yeah.
And that kind of inspired stuff incidents that we saw like with January 6th. You know, it's just
right. I heard Sheryl Crow on, I think it was on Justin Long's podcast, that Life yeah. is Short. And she was talking about how by the time she got out there, it was just like, people were throwing feces and mm-hmm. I think they played like a few songs were like, I am out. And maybe Jewel talked about it also. Yeah.
I think so. Yes.
Yeah. Jewel is a pro though. You know, Jewel's used to, I guess she was working in bars since she was like 6 years old or something singing. So
something like that.
That was yeah. nothing to her.
She was coming in around the time where she and Shania Twain were putting the pop in country.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What's your favorite kind of music? Just sidebar.
Well, according to Spotify, my fourth favorite song of last year was the theme from The OC.
Oh, wow. Right.
Number five was the theme to The Spy Who Loved Me, James Bond.
Okay, so you like movie soundtracks.
I like a lot of music, actually, you know.
One day it's going to be Danny Elfman. Next minute it's going to be... I don't know. Something.
I mean, I'm big. Like, I'm a huge, like, I go back. I'm a huge Beatles fan. I love The Doors, but I love stuff like, you know, the White Stripes are great to me. Anything Jack White does, really, I love.
Sweet.
I actually like some of the Harry Styles stuff. And one of my guests from Brentfest is actually opening for Harry Styles for like 15 shows now, which is insane, dude.
Yeah, man.
I mean, Harry Styles, I never would think that somebody from like, you never think that somebody from like one of those boy bands is going yeah. to come out and actually be like a legitimate artist, Colin even Mark though we do Reed see
said it perfectly one time. Why do you call it a band if there's no instruments?
I'll tell you know what, I ride hard for Pentatonix, no instruments. I love those guys. Oh, wait, they're from Austin, right? Austin? No, they're from Arlington, Texas. That's where Pentatonix is from.
I see. Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah,
I love Arlington.
Yeah. They went to whatever school is in Arlington, which I don't know what school that is.
So. UT Arlington.
Oh, okay, UT Arlington. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I have heard of these guys. But Jesus. Wow.
Have you never listened? I mean, if you're not into like an a cappella group, they don't sound like an a cappella group because they have such their bass guy sounds like a cello.
They had to come on at least one Christmas playlist somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I would recommend like they'll do a thing where they'll do a retrospective of like, oh, I don't know, Beyonce, Michael Jackson, Rihanna, and just or Daft Punk. They'll do a whole Daft Punk thing where they'll do all the songs and you'll be like, how are they making all these noises with no instruments? Because their beatboxer is so freaking great and their bass guy is just like, their bass guy could probably break a glass if he wanted to with his voice.
With his voice.
Yeah, it's so deep.
They might be expert mutants.
And then they have what is called a counter tenor, which is like a guy that's voice is just like, fully probably an octave higher than a tenor should be, you know.
And the so, whatever formula they use to refresh in their voice might even be
yeah,
even more absurd.
Yeah. But if you wanted to listen to them, I would listen. They do like an amazing, imagine Bohemian Rhapsody with no instruments, but yet there are instruments because they make all the instruments with their voices. To. Yeah. But Pentatonix's Bohemian Rhapsody is pretty wild.
For sure, for sure.
But yeah, I listen to a lot of different types of music. The person I've seen the most is Ben Folds. I've seen Ben Folds probably like 30 times. I like Weird Al a lot.
Yeah, there you go. Altogether, what's your favorite kind of place to like see a concert?
Oh, like for me, it's those like outdoor, but not as big as the Hollywood Bowl, but like there's a place called the Greek out here that probably holds, I want to say 3,000 people, maybe 3,000 to 5,000, where it's like, where there's no bad seats in the house, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I prefer a place like that. And, I like it. You know, the acoustics are usually better outdoors than they are in a building where you get the weird, like,
yeah,
reverb.
You're not getting bit by mosquitoes outdoors.
Right. Although the Forum in LA is one of the greatest places I've ever been to Electric Light Orchestra, ELO, from the 70s, ooh, 80s. I saw them at the Forum. They still sound great. you know, and then we would have no Traveling Wilburys without ELO, because Jeff Lynne was producing all of those guys that were the Traveling Wilburys. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, my number one song on Spotify last year was called was this Portland band called Derby that I don't even think is around anymore. But yeah,
it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, so you know, my musical tastes are all over the place. I'm listening to acapella, I'm listening to like indie rock, I'm listening to, you know, 70s, 80s, 60s, Harry Styles. I enjoy The Weeknd a little bit, you know, not just the time of the week, but like the guy, his music. Yeah.
Until they get canceled. I'm just kidding.
It's possible. I mean, anybody could get canceled, I guess, right? Say something stupid.
Have you ever thought of doing a fun show like that is like cancel or not?
I don't know, man. Like, to me, it's like that. There's enough of it happening, and you know that I don't know, it seems like dangerous territory to me, I guess.
It would be ironic if then this like whatever comedian you just had on got canceled the next month, you're like,
right,
pre-canceled.
Now if you could do bets on who's probably gonna get canceled, I mean, I think a lot of people would have guessed, like,
it'd be a bracket.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kanye would have been pretty high on there always, you know.
Steven Seagal.
Oh, Steven Seagal.
People who we knew were dickheads, and yet still is like, why are they still working? People know they suck.
Who's a better sheriff, Steven Seagal or Shaq? You know, of the guys that have honorary badges from different places. Or, you know, Herschel Walker was honorary badges.
let's just nominate Ernie Hudson because he's a cool guy.
I don't know anything about Ernie Hudson.
He was a deputy in one state.
Was he?
Yeah.
That's cool. And he was in Hand That Rocks the Cradle, if you remember that
movie. Of course. People just go win some Ghostbusters or Warden on Oz. I'm like, yeah, Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Way. Yeah. My wife and I, when we first met, I was like right in the middle of watching Oz, you know. Great and show. She was just like, one of the things was she was just like, she would wake up in the middle of the night and just hear like the most horrific sounds happening. She's like, yeah, mostly like that. Yeah.
Just Tales from the Crypt, but in a prison anthology. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Can I ask you, can any characters from Oz make the Who Would Win challenge? I can totally see Ray repping Chris Keller and James picking some other John Wick type character.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean, look, if you did it, wouldn't it have to be Adebisi versus Schillinger? I mean,
just Keller or one of the other hitman characters, O'Reilly,
or
one of the boxers. Okay. Yeah,
how about this? Wait, who is the guy that plays Mayhem? Is that O'Reilly?
That's what I mean. Okay. Yeah, the O'Reilly in a boxing match.
Here's the matchup. O'Reilly versus Mayhem from the commercials. That's
I'd watch it. Yeah,
that's, yeah, I would totally watch that. Yeah.
And it's Running Man style, so like the guy, right. Like it. And that is also just kind of made me realize how many great prison franchises there are. I take it you've heard of Undisputed.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but I've heard of it. Yeah.
Okay, well, it's now kind of a cult martial arts franchise. They've done a bunch of them.
Is that right?
Really good, with Michael J. White and Scott Atkins, who've gone on to do stuff like Arrow and Doctor Strange.
Nice. I think the best martial arts show I've seen that nobody watched was Into the Badlands. I love that show.
I couldn't get into it, but I'm glad.
I loved it, man. I loved it. I loved the whole, I loved the world with all the different characters. You know, you got the Widow. Like, they had cool nicknames. They almost had like wrestling nicknames. The Widow.
Wasn't it based on a comic or something?
Probably.
But yeah, Ray Stevenson was on it, the Punisher himself, and then freaking Martin Soka, so you might know as his villain roles from Equalizer. He was like
the
Lord who was like, who did I come here?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Well, what's the best sword fight you've seen in a movie? Where you're like, we should do a comedic version of that.
I don't know.
There's Blade, there's Star Wars.
Yeah, my favorite one is probably like Dooku and Yoda, right? That's pretty bad. The first time we got to see Yoda going crazy, you know?
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. The Darth Maul fight was fun, you know?
Yeah.
Was the Princess Bride sword fight any good? I don't remember.
Yeah. Actually, well, it was the same guy who coordinated the original trilogy fights. So
yeah, there you go.
Well,
yeah.
As well as, and he went on to do Highlander.
Oh, I know. For me, the best sword fight I've seen has to be from like one of the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. That movie is so freaking amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're running along rooftops and they're fighting on top of trees. I mean, come on.
All to just kind of just establish not who's like the bigger deal, but just like one's a rebel and the other's got discipline.
Right. Yeah.
Who's the rebel on your show? Is it James or is it Ray?
That's a good question.
Or is it you? You're not like any judge. Loaded question.
I mean, I feel like it would be... not in the best interest of the show for me to say it's me,
I mean, you work for you, so.
Well, I'll tell you what, you should go back and listen to like one episode of Ray and I doing that Raisin Brent show, and then you'll see who's the rebel, me or Ray, because that entire show is me and Ray doing a show where I try to just derail the show the entire time.
Oh yeah.
All I do is try to derail the show, and I think it's hilarious. And also, I know that Ray has to edit it. So, Ray's editing Robert it, and I'm the one Chen trying to, you know,
that's who would win. I didn't know Ray.
Well, he edited Raisin Brent.
He just wanted to sound that.
Not who would win.
Yeah, no, that's Robert who does that.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But that's wild that he edits Brent past him.
Robert Clark Chan is one of my favorite judges on the show, though. I have to say that he's and maybe it's just because he knows Ray so well and he can give it to him
share of watching everything. He's done games, done anime, he's done
right movies. He's a fountain of knowledge about so many things. Yeah,
and he wants he's when I interviewed him, and you can listen on your own time if you want, but yeah, he did sum up how he takes it as a challenge. When he hates something so much, he must finish it.
Oh yeah, yeah,
finish him.
I'm like that too. Like, if it's really bad, I have to finish it.
Oh yeah, yeah. I went through all of Walker, Texas Ranger, and NCIS LA. It's hysterical.
NCIS LA. That's a show I used to audition for, and I was just like, what? And every time I would read it, I was like, what is even happening on this show?
They're using the same people, and yet you're looking at the camera, and you're like, that's the most fakest looking, like, Adobe Photoshop edit mixed with a bizarre slow motion that doesn't match up, and it's not even
cool. Well, you know, but NCIS LA, they do have interesting situations where I'm just like, how would this happen? Like,
right, and then we're... It's even more cartoonish because it's like the main show is trying to actually kind of be legit and just sneak in humor, kind of like Bones. And they're like going around at a cartoonish level to where you're just like, so I don't know what, once again, like Fast and Furious, I don't know what tone you want me to go in.
Right. Now, if I was going to watch one of the Fast and the Furious movies, wait, have you seen all of them or you haven't seen all of them?
I have unfortunately seen them all. And all you can just see is it was featured on your show.
Okay.
Who would win? Hobbs and Shaw. Because it's Tango and Cash on steroids.
So Hobbs and Shaw is like a spinoff of that? Yes, okay, and that's the best thing from it?
Oh, yes.
Tokyo Drift's no good? It sounds cool.
Yeah, Tokyo Drift and Fast Five are probably tolerable out of all that shit. Yeah.
Okay.
But
someday I'm going to watch
this. Just watch this now.
Yeah. Hobbs and Shaw. I heard that was good.
Anything else that you would like to promote? That's not Hobbs and Shaw. That's,
I mean, you know, I'm always trying to promote the Breakfast podcast, Breakfast with Brent Pope. It's like where Hollywood meets great food, you know.
When did you feel comfortable just finally coming out of yourself? He's like, you know, I'm ready for it. I studied broadcasting. I want to have my own talk show with my
buddies. I think for both Ray and I, we did that Ray's and Brent show. And that was both of us learning how to podcast, you know, learning what we could do, what we were good at, what we weren't good at. And Then we both were like, okay, now I want to do this.
And Robert had done it a while. Crystal and James had years of experience before they finally pulled the trigger. And you were just the same mindset. It was like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I know the template. I know the voice. Let's just do it already.
Yeah. And it was just like, it still for me was like, I don't know if I can do this. And I was like, I'm just going to do it. And if it's terrible, I just won't ever air it. And then I was like, oh, this is not bad. All right, let's do it.
Now you just got to promote it. The material's there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, but I'm always working on that. I do have a cool show coming out, but I can't really talk about it yet. I wish I could. Maybe, you know how it goes. Like,
you know where to reach me. And
yeah, absolutely. You
can finally pull the trigger.
All right.
We're down to have you back on the show, do some other movie or talk about our favorite, I don't know, actor's best performance or even a
I'll say this. This is the one thing I'll say about this, and it's very cryptic. It's not cryptic. This will be the new show that I'm going to be on is going to be one of the first times, I believe, in American television where we've seen an entire Filipino family all played by Filipino actors.
I love it already.
Interesting, right?
So more of this.
What show that is? Who knows?
I look forward to it because, you know.
But like Lou Diamond Phillips, this will be the first time I get to play a Filipino character on any show. So, although I guess technically any character I play is intrinsically Filipino, right?
Right. But it's going to be the first all Filipino cast.
But not named Filipino, not with the intent of it being a Filipino character. Yeah. So that'll be cool. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, we could do this again.
Yeah, no, that's great. I congratulate you on using the internet and all these other avenues to just reach out and find all these different methods of your comedy.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you want to go to my website, it's brentpope.com. It's pretty easy. All the social medias are like at scoopspope. That's my Instagram.
Listen to Breakfast. You'll get a chuckle.
You can listen to Breakfast. There's Breakfast page on my website. So you go to Breakfast, you can see some of my TV clips on there. You can see...
Look up his web series.
Yeah, and then you look me up. You have to find the web series because those are somewhere.
Listen to Who We Win. It's not just for the geeks. Even though it's pretty geeky, it really is just hysterical seeing us debate fictional characters.
It's fun. Yeah, yeah.
And again, you're the judge. You just say
I'm one of the judges. Yeah, and I'm the executive VP. So you know, I kind of help them filter
coming
through
soon to
things.
Patreon on air episodes where James and Ray are cursing each other out, and you're like, you're in contempt.
If you only knew.
If you only knew. Okay, well. That's the OnlyFans version, my bad. I don't
know. Yeah, that's right. Anyway.
Okay, well, this was a delight having you on here, like any interview we've had. And I will let you know when this actually airs.
Cool. Well, that was fun. Fun times.
Yeah. And stay safe out there. Avoid all the Karens of the world.
Nice. Did you ever watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
I actually need to catch up on that one. And it's wild how it's gone in pieces. How it's just
so you have seen that show.
I have. It was one of those. It had been on the air a while. I knew Rachel Bloom was because she was doing some Funny or Die videos and everything. And it's just funny how it's another show. One minute it's a musical, the next minute it's kind of mocking all kinds of shows. Is it?
Well, she's on that other show too, the reboot. She's she's a big character on Reboot, Rachel Bloom. But so the guy that plays her, the guy that she likes, Josh Chan, the Filipino guy on the show, right?
Yeah.
So the show that I'm coming out on, I'm going to be playing his dad.
Oh shit!
On a show, yeah. So
you're gonna.
So that's kind of cool.
120 questions is like,
right?
How'd you get? get this far.
So we'll talk about that, you know, later.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, it was cool, man. Oh, he's just like, but get to meet but guys. You know, when you're on camera with somebody like that, he's just so good looking and you're like, Jesus Christ, I'm a troll. And he's like so buff and you're like, man, I need to reconsider my life choices. You know? Yeah.
We need that in this world.
Yeah. That part's not on the show, right? We already stopped recording.
Is that what okay. I'm gonna stop recording that last
okay. time. Yeah, we can't talk about any we can't talk about
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.